Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Välkommen till Delen Flaska 11, avsnitt 11, Delen Flaska Deluxe. Deluxe, ja, därför att jag har en internationell gäst här idag. Vi dricker tre viner istället för ett. Vi har ett givet tema och vi har en sponsor i form av branschorganisationen för rånviner. Tack vare dem och ett litet hjälp av sommeliergillet har jag lyckats få hit Rasha Parr, en världskänd sommelier som bedriver sin verksamhet framförallt i Kalifornien, uppväxt i Calcutta. Skrivit en bok som heter Secrets of the Sommeliers och driver numera Sandy Wines där han gör sina egna viner i Kalifornien. Men idag är temat alltså rånviner och Rasha är en riktig, riktig ambassadör för framförallt norra rån skulle jag säga. Jag hoppas att det ska bli en trevlig timmes lyssning på vad han har att berätta. Varsågod. Rasha Parr, welcome here to Dela en flaska. In English would say a bottle to share or share a bottle.
Oh.
And today we're going to share 3 bottles.
Wow.
So maybe you should call it share a bottle magnum or double magnum.
No, thank you. It's great to be here.
What brings you to Sweden?
We are here for a little tasting. There's a small group of producers from California. And then we have a friend of ours who wrote a book. His name is John Bonnet. He wrote a book called New California. So he's... We're here with a few producers to show the wines in Stockholm, and we did the same thing in London, small tasting for the trade and for the restaurants here in Stockholm. And I come to Sweden at least once or twice a year. I've have many friends here, and I love the culture, I love the restaurants. We are going to Faviken. Yeah. Tomorrow,
lucky.
Yeah, no, it's paradise. It's my happy place. I was there last year. It was amazing. It was one of the greatest 2 days ever. So we're going to go see it again in the spring.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, amazing.
So today we're gonna talk about the Rhone Valley because I know you're a big fan of Rhone wines.
Mm, big fan.
Big fan.
Yeah.
And we're gonna try 3 different wines. I just poured them. It's 1 white, and 2 reds. And you wanted to do them blind, and I said yes because that's what we always try to do here. And you said it, tasting blind is the only way to taste blind. Is it like that?
Yeah, I think you know it's fun to taste wine, to drink wine, but I think it's to really understand wine without looking at the label is something about it. I'm not a wine reviewer. I'm just here to enjoy wines, but also, you know, it's fun to see and taste wines and try to identify, you know, what, you know, where they're from and what it is. So,
I mean, you're a sommelier, you're a like, wine director, now you're a wine producer as well. Is there anything that you are not able to do when it comes to wine?
No, you know, you always start a career and you do what you do, and then your life changes. I was a sommelier for 17 years, then I stopped to work in the restaurant like 1 year ago, and for those last 10 years I was also making wine, but now I do almost everything I do is more in with wine. I don't work in the restaurant anymore. I own a restaurant, a partner in two restaurants, and it's called RN74 in San Francisco and Seattle, but I don't work there anymore. I live in Santa Barbara now. Even though I oversee a bunch of restaurants in the U.S., but I don't do any daily operations. I mostly focus on the winery and the vineyard.
Right. Do you miss the service part? Or?
Sometimes. You know, it's a great business. It's a very social life, and... But I think after 17 years, you want to maybe have a different style of life, not as all day till late at night. It's good, but I think 17 years on the floor was.
You done your hours.
I did my hours. Yes.
You remember your first wine from the Rhone Valleys?
Yes. I remember the first few wines, and I'm a big fan of Cornas, and I remember my very first Rhone wine was a Clap Cornas. I'm not sure what vintage, it was in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky when this is in 1996, Rhone wines, they were around, no one paid attention to them because Bordeaux was still more important, as still today is the most important region for most people. But I've always had this love for Syrah from the Northern Rhone, specifically from Cornas. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why Cornas and not Hermitage?
I love Hermitage. I love Côte-Rôti. I love Saint-Joseph. But Cornas has these jagged edges, this form of rusticity which is wild, and as they age they soften up, but when they're young they're abrasive. And Hermitage is much more regal, it's much more complete, and it's majestic. Mm-hmm. And it continues to be in that majestic form, but Cornas is just rugged. It's like a wild rugby player. whereas Hermitage is more like someone who's maybe playing golf or like cricket.
All right, okay. That's a nice conversion. Well, you got any favorite producers up there?
Of course, Thierry Allemand, Clap, August Clap, not anymore, but Noël Verset. When he produced wines, he retired after the 06 vintage. So, those three are my personal favorites. And I try to go visit them every year now Clap, I've been visiting every year since 1998. A very true and very pure expression of Syrah.
But now we're on the white side, or should I say, yellow, goldenish color.
Yeah.
It's kind of grabs between.
Wow. Yeah, it smells very exotic, very almost like, candied apricot and like a ripe, apricot or peach. It has this kind of marzipan nose. Yeah. And some fennel seeds, a little bit of anise. Very exotic nose. Yeah, very round mouthfeel. Spicy, rich. Yeah, it almost has like a, almost like a bruised fruit, like a bruised peach on the mouth, you know, like a peach which is ripe and then it's kind of getting slightly brown, but lot of weight, quite low acidity. Would be great with maybe some cheese or maybe with a rich, oily fish dish with maybe some butter or almonds and all that. But
it's rich, but it's not that heavy.
No, no, no. No, this is a wine for long aging. This is a wine...
is this typical white rum?
This yeah, it reminds me of from the north, you know. Maybe, you know, maybe like an Hermitage Blanc, or it has that richness, you know. It reminds me of like a Northern Rhone, kind of a Marsan predominant.
Exactly. What kind of grapes are you talking about up there?
Really? Yeah, it reminds, you know, it's like a Marsan and Roussan, you know. It reminds me more of that kind of honeyed and a little bit of nuts, not roasted, but more fresh.
Yeah.
I don't... I mean, it could be a Saint Joseph Blanc, but I don't think so. Maybe, but it's a little bit light on the texture. It's not a...
Exactly, it's not that...
It's not... Maybe not have the same power as Hermitage Blanc. It might be... maybe a Saint Joseph Blanc, you know, from maybe, you know, something. It's not very old. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe 2010.
It ends up very, very dry.
Yeah, no, very savory. This is the wine you can tell is more on the salty texture, so it's for the aging. It'll be, you know, maybe in 5-10 years. I mean... These kind of wines, they kind of start off like this, and then they almost seem like they're becoming more oxidative in age, and then they come back in 20 years, become fresher. And you decant this bottle, and if you drink it tomorrow, it will be fresher than it is today. I don't know why white Rhone has that quality.
You think that on all levels?
Or? No, on the top wines, grown on, if they're on good granite or on limestone. What is this wine?
You want to know?
Yeah.
We are down south, actually, in Vaqueras.
Oh, okay.
And this is 07, producer is Monterius.
So, Roussan, Grenache Blanc.
And Grenache Blanc, and Bourbon Blanc.
I rarely ever drink white wines from the Rhone. Very exotic.
I think...
07, now.
Yeah, wow. 07, and there's almost no oak on this.
Yeah, no, you don't get it. That's why I shied away from Hermitage Blanc. Like, Hermitage will have more wood and maybe more weight, so it's like a...
And still, it's. I think it's grow on Garrigue soil.
Mm.
And biodynamic producer. And I would say this is not... the typical Cote d'Rhone Blanc that you taste, maybe.
No, this is a very unusual, but really good. Come back to that.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see. This will be alive for a couple of days.
First red is very, you have that garlic, the spiciness, it smells very, the black plum, slightly gamey.
What are you looking for in a Rhone wine? I mean,
you know, the north and south is very quite different. This clearly smells like from the south, you know. It clearly has that kind of, more of the, you know, the white pepper, the black plum, the dark plum. You know, it smells very much like Grenache and Mourvèdre, or Grenache. It smells very much like Châteauneuf. On the nose only, you know, it's slightly gamey. No oak, you know, has the Grenache. Very polished, very refined.
It's very round now.
Round, soft tannins. Yeah, it's classic wine. It's in the acidity is low, but not. It's not very high in alcohol. If it could be Chateauneuf, but a very elegant producer.
Yeah. It's I'm not really sure where they sourced the grape from, because
It's a
basic Coteron,
but it smells like great Grenache. Is it Grenache or Momovedra?
It's 80% Syrah.
Syrah.
Yeah, but it doesn't have that peppery notes.
Wow,
really.
Very very.
They have 20% Grenache.
It smells a lot like Grenache than Syrah. Weird.
Yeah. Huh. It's a bit weird.
It's 80% Syrah.
Yeah. On your restaurants, when you put a Coteron Rouge or on the list, is it a popular choice? Do people?
Yeah, I think when they see the Coteron appellation, you know, it's more value driven, and by the glass or you drink a bottle, it has a more. Coteron is. I mean, it's Most of the restaurants in the U.S., everyone knows Coteron for sure. And, you know, it is confusing sometimes to have Coteron and say, oh, it's Grenache or it's Syrah, you know. Mm.
Yeah, but then you can still feel like you're in the Rhone Valley.
Yeah, and you can feel you're in the south, you know, because there's also Coteron in the north.
Of course.
Which is very different than the granite in the north or, you know, just wherever you are. And then you have the more sand or galette or, you know... Different soil, different, and of course, the vine training is different, and the sunlight is different in the south. So that, I guess, influences. But most fine restaurants, I think, they go more for, you know, Côte Rôtie or Hermitage or Cournasse or, you know.
What about Condria? It's not really up there at the moment.
It's not, you know, and I think it's great terroir and great producer. It's a small appellation, but I think, you know, it's sometimes the wines are just so juicy and they sometimes lose the freshness. Mm. And the reputation is not for aging, you know. Even though I think they can, but they are big wines, sometimes maybe too ripe. But it's the style, you know. It's a classic. It smells like peaches and cream, and
yeah. But except Chateau Gruyère, then.
Oh yeah, that's why Chateau Gruyère and not Condrieu. Yeah. For me, I like wines fresh. I have one glass, I want the next, you know.
Let's see what we find in glass three.
Yeah, it's
you're already there.
It smells more of the north. It smells more of the Syrah, of the black pepper and bacon and smokiness and, you know.
Mm.
More of the...
Where does this... bacon and peppery notes comes from?
I think maybe in the selection of the grape, maybe in some Syrah in the north, when I think there's a certain selection in the identity of the grape of Syrah, Syri Noir, which is in the north in Côte Rôtie, that oftentimes you get that smoky bacon fat kind of flavor, and then but if you pick it too ripe, it changes to blackberry jam. So, you know, you have to pick it in more elegant. You know, it's not for super ripe wine. And again, you can put 100% new oak and you might lose it. So there are many factors to it. 20 years ago, there were most producers making old-fashioned Syrah. And now it's 90% modern and only a handful of few producers who are still producing old school wine, you know.
At Sandy, you make Chardonnay and Pinot.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to have some Syrah as well?
I do a little bit for fun on the side, just a little bit. We don't sell it. The first time I made wine in 2004 was Syrah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, I still do. We made 04 till 08 and then didn't make 9, 10, 11, and then 12 of the first vintage we made. Old school, whole bunches, no new oak, long aging.
Was it good?
Yeah, we're going to bottle it soon, next week. Or
Okay, so it's not...
No, next week, maybe in two, three weeks, I think it's getting bottled. So, yeah, you know, it's good. It's drinkable, it's fresh, it's all whole bunches, and no sulfur. Yeah, just...
Cool.
Yeah, just for fun, I think.
Okay, but it's from the same vineyards that you're...
It's from... We buy grapes from one of my friend, Pete Stolpman, from his vineyard. We buy... It's a organic dry farm vineyard on limestone in Ballard Canyon in San Inez Valley in Santa Barbara. So, great vineyard, and we're lucky to get some grapes from him. And, yeah, so it... It's again small. Just it's not under Sandhi or anything else. It's we don't even have a label or name yet.
All right.
It might just be a bottle with chalk. I don't know.
Okay, but what do you?
We decide. I'm not sure. We make it for ourselves. You know, it's always good to do something outside of what you do every day.
But do you think you can make really really great Syrah outside Rhone Valley?
You know, I mean, you could probably make a distinctive Syrah from the place. You know, you can't compare to the Rhone Valley because the Rhone Valley is the Rhone Valley and a Côte Rôtie is a Côte Rôtie. And even if you go to Côte Rôtie or Cordasse and Hermitage, the way they plant the vineyard, how they farm the vineyard is different. They're not the same. How they vinify traditionally... in Côte Rôtie is very different than Cornas. Cornas was always whole bunches, and you know, Hermitage was usually always destemmed. Côte Rôtie always had a submerged cap, you know. So those are, and those are, you know, that's what history has taught us. You know, it's not so. So it's difficult. We can use those examples and vinification type and techniques of farming and everything else, but the soil is different. And as the previous one, you could, you know, Syrah grown in sand or galette is different than Syrah grown on schist or granite. I think it's exciting to make Syrah in a place, a different place, and try to focus more on the place and the grape. It's the Rhone is the Rhone.
Going back to wine, I mean, it's almost the same color as the Côte Rôtie.
Yeah, but it's, it tastes more like Syrah grown on maybe on schist and granite. Mm-hmm. It doesn't taste like Syrah grown on sand or more rugged. The tannins are much firmer.
Slightly more serious wine, I think, as well.
Yeah, no,
it comes to the texture. And
yeah, very serious. You know, it does taste like, you know, maybe a Côte Rôtie or something like that. More elegant, not very.
Yeah, you're totally right. But we're up north, Saint Joseph, Pierre Gonon.
Oh yeah, so I visited him a few weeks ago. Yeah.
All right.
So it has a. His vineyards are great. He's in just outside of Hermitage on the other side. Mm. Yeah, his cellar is in Mauve, and vineyards are around Mauve. Yeah, very no new oak and all in aged in demi moi. A lot of whole bunches. Yeah, smoky. Yeah, it's good.
How many times have you been to Rhone Valley? You say you visit Clap every year?
Yeah, Clap and Chave, Jamais.
Are there any hidden treasures?
Gonon is a hidden treasure. I mean, this is, I don't know, it's not very expensive, but it's one of the greatest values in wine today in the world. You know, and it's been discovered, and more people want it, and demand supply will eventually.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Change the availability and the price, because his vineyards are what he has. You know, he's not going to buy more, and just him and his brother, Jean and Pierre, they farm the vineyard and they make the wine. So one day the demand is going to outgrow the supply. Yeah. It already has. So
do you think the price levels on Rhone Valley wines, are they too pricey or?
No, I think it's okay. You know, it's if you look at the vineyards, how steep they are and how much work there is in the vineyards, it's a very good value. You know, if you compare it to the flat vineyards in wherever in France, you know, these are serious work. Mm-hmm. You know, eventually all the hard work is going to pay off, you know, because these wines were nothing. Saint Joseph, you know, 20 years ago was whatever. No one could charge, you know, what they charge today. Mm. And there's more to come, you know, and there's lots of good producers. There's Jean-Pierre Monnier up in Saint-Désirat. He's a small producer there. Of course, Gonon. There's Jean Richard does this domain. Jean Richard Saint Joseph. He also has the Negos, the offers.
All right.
You know, so there's the people make are getting serious about Saint Joseph. You know, but it's a big appellation. I mean, if you go and have the Saint Joseph from Philippe Faury up in Chavanay, just south of Corotie, you know, it's a very Corotie style Saint Joseph, and then you have Jean Richard, and it's more in a Hermitage style, like this in Gonon. But you know, you have that smokiness and.
So what's going on the producer side? Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of. Are they changing anything when it comes to production?
Yeah, there's. It's becoming a little bit, modern. You know, if a Syrah from Northern Rhone tastes like a Syrah from Australia or California, then lose their identity. So it's important for producers to, you know, stay with tradition and make wines which are, you know, from the place, not from maybe in the head, or maybe if some journalist tells them to make it in a certain way.
What about natural wines?
Oh, I think that most great producers in the world, everyone wants to produce a natural wine.
Yeah.
If anyone doesn't, then, you know, I don't know what the word. Of course, but the word has been used in different ways, and I don't think it's been defined. I wish someone would define what exactly natural wine means, because natural wine could mean organic vineyard or biodynamic vineyard or something with no sulfur. So, you know, it's, but I think the natural wine is more about honest wine, about you grow the right grapes without disturbing the equilibrium of the soil, without chemicals, you know, and adjust yourself to the weather pattern of the year. And then in the cellar, you vinify very gently without, again, too much of anything, you know. Sulfur is good in small doses. It's okay if there's no sulfur, but if the wine is not correct, then you have to correct it.
Yeah.
You know, it's very simple. The vine, when the vine is growing, the vine doesn't like wires or sticks. It wants to fall over. They want to grow wild, right? But the man has to put them on a wire or put them on a stick. You know, we have to. You know, that's our job. That's a hand of man while growing. And when the grapes come in the cellar, grape juice wants to become vinegar.
Yes.
That is the job of the grape juice. So we have to be the hand of man to correct that and not let it be vinegar by correcting it in whatever way. But, you know, I love wines with no sulfur, but I also love wines with sulfur because I would rather have a wine with sulfur than have an oxidized wine.
Yeah.
Right? So it's an argument we can keep having with people, and as long as you're not dogmatic about it, you know, it's a great culture. I think it's
fading out a little bit, the discussion, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think you know, and I know where it came from.
Mm.
Natural wine, the word and the philosophy came as an attack on commercial wine, as an attack on industrial wine. Which is right, you know. No one wants to see, you know, 100,000 hectoliter tank of industrial wine just made like with everything added and bottled and sold.
No.
Opposite of that is artisanal wine, very small and handcrafted. So I understand why the movement is so strong, but it must have its boundaries.
Do you see yourself as an artisanal? Handcraft.
Absolutely. We, I stay at Dumandra Cote. We have, you know, it's an organic estate. We don't have any. We planted the vineyard on a hill, and there were no chemicals in there. We are all organic. We keep the cellar fully organic. We have very little sulfur. Usually, just maybe at one racking, if we rack, or usually before bottling, and that's it. You know, so it's. Same philosophy, but we won't let the wine die on us. You know, we have to, when it goes in the bottle, it has to be, you know, done correctly.
Mm.
So it's, it's the same idea. It's just, but we don't go and say, oh, we make natural wine. If you see the cellar and you see the grapes and you check the bottle, it's the same idea, but it's, you know, we don't want to be in a bracket of this. I mean, we make a Pinot Noir with no sulfur at all, sans souffle, but we keep it only in California.
Okay.
A little bit in New York. Never, not at bottling, not at any, ever.
Okay.
And, you know, so, but, you know, those are things we do, you know. It's not because we, you know, it's delicious wine we drink at home, maybe, and sell a little bit.
But what's the next step for Sandy?
Oh, just continue on focusing on the vineyards in Santa Rita Hills and focus and watch the vines get older at Domaine de la Cote and maintain the vineyard. And I said, this is, leave it up to Mother Nature to let us adapt. Watch the vines get older and hopefully the next generation will take the vineyard. And, you know, because this is not our job. We are just, our job is to maintain the vineyard. The next generation will take it and they will... they will make, you know, better wine than us because the wines are going to get older, so.
Speaking about your restaurant, RN74, the one that you got famous for or are famous for, tell the Swedish listeners, why should you go to RN74 while you're in California?
If you like Burgundy, you know, it's a story about a love affair. We wanted to open a restaurant where you can have great wines, great Burgundies, or Rhone, or Bordeaux, whatever, but in a very fun setting. You know, I wore a suit and a tie for most of my career, and then I wanted to just have a restaurant where we can just wear jeans and sneakers and have loud music and serve some great wines. And that was the whole idea. So, and we have a, you know, it's very kind of a modern bistro-like feel and good ambiance, delicious food by our chef, and some good wine. Of course, we have a lot of Burgundy, but other things also we have from, you know, everything from California, of course, and Germany, Austria, from everywhere. So it's...
You sell a lot by glass, I heard.
Yeah, we have, I think, 50 wines by the glass. I think it's very important to have a good by the glass program because people want to... Well, we'll come in the bar, have one glass, or have a little taste, and then move on, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's... or have a whole dinner and try 10 different wines, maybe. I think it's important because it's fun to have one bottle also, but sometimes if you're curious for a curious diner, you want to taste different things, so keep it exciting.
Does it play loud music? Do you like music yourself?
Or yeah.
What do you listen to?
I mean, you know, everything, you know, from... You know, in the beginning, you know, when I came to the States, of course, you know, everyone starts with, you know, just the pop music, and then you get into a little hip hop, or you know, I like everything. There's no, you know, there's you know, any kind of music from hip hop to blues to classic. It's just, you know, Indian music. I listen to some Indian music also. No,
it's, you were born in Calcutta, right?
Yeah. So sometimes when I'm very serene, I like, if I'm just like relaxing at home, I might play some old Indian classical music.
Oh, wow.
which my father,
What do you drink to that?
What I drink to that? Oh, when I'm home, I drink, you know, Beaujolais usually, or...
Okay.
You know, Riesling.
And your favorite Beaujolais producer?
Oh, so many, you know. Fouillard, Lapierre, Sunier, Julien Sunier. Mm-hmm. You know, you live in Santa Barbara, you have nice sunny weather. It's a...
Straight from the fridge.
It's a fun wine, a serious wine. It's, you know, you can have many things to eat. It's good. I like it.
Do you collect wines?
Oh, yeah.
Are you like a collector?
Yeah, in the last 10 years, maybe, yeah. Oh, I was a huge seller, but, you know, slowly growing, you know. It's living in San Francisco is never easy to have space, to so expensive to live there. Mm. But I started buying it 10 years ago, so mostly the cellar is mostly Rhone and Chablis, Champagne, Beaujolais.
Oh, wow.
A little bit Burgundy if you can afford it, but
yeah,
it's getting expensive. But mostly Rhone, yeah.
Are there any wines that you drink that you're... bit ashamed of, that you don't want to show the bottle to people?
My life is pretty much an open book. There's nothing hidden with all now social media and delectable and...
Yeah, but it's not like you go back tonight and then you pop a very modern Bordeaux with a lot of oak and it's like, oh, I love this.
No, I don't drink ever. I think I may have one bottle of Bordeaux in my cellar.
Okay.
No, I don't drink much Cabernet. I enjoy some. I have some from my friends who we trade bottles, but nothing against New Oak. I think some wines can handle 100% New Oak and some wines can't. Mm. Yesterday we had a bottle of Cathiar and it was a lot of oak, but it was delicious. Mm. You know, but the wine handled it well. And sometimes it can be too much.
Yeah.
It's like bread. Sometimes a little bit is great. If it's a lot, it's too much. But, you know, no, it's even champagne. If you have Salos, it's like a lot of oak. Or if you have something like Pierre Peters, it's no oak. So it's just different. Mm. But I like it all. Some people don't like Salos, and some people like them, so.
Switching back to Rhone and the glasses. I see if there's any kind of development in the glasses, especially I was thinking about the white, because...
Oh, yeah, I see it's getting more piney, it's getting more kind of fennelly and anisey.
Yeah, Yes, fennel notes are interesting.
Yeah, it always happens. Yesterday we had a Hermitage Blanc and it kind of changed. We had it before dinner, came back, had it after. It was like much finer, much more mineral. I still can't believe this is Syrah. So funny.
I bring the bottles.
Wow. Such soft texture.
Start with the first one. Vacinas. 07. It's called Mineral as well. And then they had the second one. It's from
Coutron de Las.
De Las. That's quite a big producer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the third one, Saint-Joseph from Gonon, 2012. It's pretty young, but still very approachable.
Yeah, great.
When do you think you should drink Rome-wise? Are they made to...
You know, I think the Vacaras, the white, is drinking really well right now. The last is good. It's very polished. It's very good. Good Côte d'Aron. It drinks well right now, I think. And the Saint-Joseph is kind of, I think it's very approachable today, but it's going to get much more earthy and mineral and firm with age. Historically, the wines are very easy in the beginning for the first year when they're released, and after they become like...
So, but what do you expect from a Saint-Joseph? I mean...
This is going on Saint-Joseph. This is... at least 10, 20 years of aging, no problem. I had a bottle of 1990 last week with him.
Okay.
Amazing. I mean, 90 was a big vintage also, but... And
how was it?
It was dense and smoky and chocolate and just amazing concentration and purity of Syrah. And that's what, 24 years old. It was very, very fresh.
Do you still get those peppery notes as well?
Yeah, I think we still get the peppery and the bacon flavor. I think you get them from whole bunches more than anything else, you know. And you get olive, you know, you get those olivey flavors. You get that from whole bunches a lot. You know, it reminds me a lot about of the wines of Jamais.
Yeah.
You know, Corotis. So it has a very, because that's also whole bunches. This is also, I think, almost 80% whole bunches.
Chamay's wines in the early stage are very like drinkable in an easy way.
Yeah, the first year and after that. Oh yeah, and those wines age very long. Yeah, for sure.
Speaking generally of the Rhone Valley, do you see a bright future, or do you think the demand will increase? Or
oh yeah, for sure. This already has. There's a big following of, especially the Northern Rhone. Southern Rhone is less, I think, in the. What we see in the United States, Northern Rhone is definitely much more the sommeliers and the wine geeks. I hope they don't get discovered, because it'll be less for us to drink.
You've been writing one book, right?
One book, yeah.
Is there a second one coming, or that one was about the secret of some years?
Yeah, myself and Jordan McKay. I don't know, maybe another book. We have something we are talking about. So, but writing a book is a lot of work. It's not just easy to. It's a lot of research, because you have to find a topic which people understand, and you have to say. Interesting things, because there's so many great writers in the world, and we don't want to write a book just to write a book. It must be something which people understand and like, because when we wrote Secrets of Sommelier, we just wrote the book because we're like, okay, it's a good topic. We can maybe do one printing and it'll be fine. And we didn't realize that it would have as big as the audience it has, the way it's received. So,
how many copies have you sold?
I don't know, but it's I don't know, maybe 8, 9, 10 printings now. So,
he's doing well.
I don't know. it's it keeps selling.
Yeah. but the second book, would it be a totally different perspective? Would it be from your?
Maybe I think to keep, but always the same voice, you know, because I think as a wine producer or even working as a sommelier, the approach is very the same. You know, you're trying to explain about the wine or grape or an idea in a simple manner, not to make it too complicated, not to make it too serious, but to have a good tone to it. And I think if we write another book, that'll definitely be the same. We'll talk about different grapes maybe and talk about the soil, the vinification, and the adding them all up. That, you know, that could be something interesting. So when we start. So we're waiting to start. We have the idea, we have the publisher, we have everything ready.
And now you know how to write a book as well.
Yeah, so now we have to do it. So, but, you know, we had to find the time also to do it because it's not fair to not give it all your attention. That's why I like tasting wine blind, because classic wines from classic regions always tell the truth. You know, if a wine is made from somewhere and it doesn't taste like that, then it's not a classic wine. The grape needs to be classic, you know. I try to go to maybe one new region every year. It's getting more difficult now because you know, I have to stay more at home and in our vineyard than go to other vineyards. But every year I try to go. Yes, last year I went to South Africa for the first time. This year I think the new region is we are going to the Loire in the middle, to you know, to Samur and Chinon and that kind of place. Yeah. So
yeah, I want you just to pick one of these choices. No thinking.
Okay.
And so let's start. And Beaujolais or Dolcetto?
Beaujolais.
Moselle or Rheingau?
Moselle.
Young or mature wine?
Mature.
Galloni or Parker?
Galloni.
Napa or Santa Barbara?
Santa Barbara.
That was an easy one. sweet or strong?
Strong. I don't drink much sweet wine.
Tasting notes or tasting memories?
Tasting memories now, but in my sommelier years, it was tasting notes. For 17 years, tasting notes. In the last year and a half, tasting memories.
Wow. Decanter or Wine Spectator?
I guess Wine Spectator, because it's what I've grown up on, being in the U.S. I subscribe to both. I don't know. It's tough.
Tong Magazine?
Tong Magazine, yeah. I love Tong.
New Zealand or Australia?
New Zealand.
Hungary or Austria?
Austria.
Cava or Prosecco?
Prosecco.
Okay. Gewürztraminer or Chanel No. 5?
Gewürztraminer.
Rioja or Ribera del Duero?
Rioja.
When you go into a restaurant, do you just sit down and ask the sommelier to do his work? Or
sometimes, yeah. Sometimes we leave it to the sommelier. Sometimes, most times I select, but if I know the sommelier and I will have them pick something interesting.
But if you come into a restaurant, they don't know who you are.
That's the most fun, because then you can, you know, sometimes it's good to be recognized, sometimes it's not.
Will you be recognized tonight at Fabiken?
Oh, yeah, you know, we have the whole restaurant to ourselves.
Okay, so they know you're coming.
They know, yeah.
Thank you very much for coming.
Sure, of course. No, thank you. Thank you for the wines. And
I have a really good one up in Fabiken.
Oh, can't wait.
All right. Thank you very
much. Great. Thank you very much.
Ja, det där var Rasha Parr, sommelier från Kalifornien. Skön dude måste jag säga. Stort hjärta som framförallt slår för rån. Och vinerna vi drack från Råndalen var då Montirius Mineral 2007 från Vaquera. Sedan blev det Coteron från Delafraie, Saint-Esprit 2012. Och sist ut var då Pierre Gonon 2012 från Saint-Joseph. Nästa gång när vi är tillbaka så är det en vanlig del av en flaska med en extraordinär gäst, Erik Videgård. Vi ses då.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.